Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 317. I'm Adam, and great jumping gobstoppers. And here's Isabella Pearson.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Debbie Melrose.
The high brains will enter immediately.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh my giddy aunt.
Well, that's especially one of my ones. And...
You're getting the full whack, Mary.
I guess I am. Yeah.
Andy has not turned up yet. So here's Mary Lang.
Zoe is a bit of a genius. It's irritating at times. You probably don't remember, Adam, but you played that same thing the first time I sent in a feedback. It's the first time you ever got a feedback from a woman.
Yes. I think I made it up for that. I mixed that piece of few pieces of music together for that specific purpose. Right, this week we're going to be looking at the crotons, not the bloody croutons, Kirby.
Did you
crotons,
like that picture?
K-R-
Your picture was brilliant.
I think I might, when I do the questions, I might have Kirby's habit.
I thought that was great. I searched far and wide for that.
Yes. Meanwhile, right, I've got to turn the volume down. Hang on, we're going to go straight to crotons if I can get this. There we go, right. So the crotons begins with the Doctor Who title sequence. And
no, really?
And then the crotons in inverted commas. Because they put the crotons in inverted commas.
Croton.
Because Kirby, they saw you coming, didn't they? If it weren't for you going, no, crotons.
I'm not the only person who
calls it inverted commas. Anyway, it's written by Robert Holmes, legendary Doctor Who writer.
His very first story for Doctor Who.
And Robert Holmes also wrote the story that was voted the greatest story of all time, which is the case.
Absolutely.
Of Andrews. I know this. This is why I'm just dictating these facts to people without the need for infotext.
Mercy for Isabella.
Yeah.
I'm quite disappointed, actually, that Andy couldn't be bothered to turn up at the start of the show because he was quite slating of this story, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, so
he sent feedback, he said.
Yeah, well, I'll cross that bridge later. There's a group
of people. And there we see the very large forehead of Philip Madoc.
Don't you mean Philip Madoc?
Yes.
Debbie, I don't think there's anyone in the cast called Philip Madoc. Do you know of anyone called Philip Madoc?
Debbie? No, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a Philip Madoc. Madoc. Philip Madoc. Stop yawning, Isabella.
No, I'm laughing.
Anyway, moving on. Yeah, so we've got a group of people wearing God knows what colour. They look a bit yellowish, even if it's black and white. I guess they were probably yellow. What do you think, Debbie?
Red, I think.
Red? What made you think they were red?
I wonder if yellow all those zippers came from the company that I work for.
Gryffindor!
Yeah, then they're all wearing...
Who makes those zippers? How do they make these zippers if they're stone knives and pitchforks?
Yeah, they've still got axes, yeah.
As I was saying...
They have gaps in their knowledge.
They might not be zippers. It might be Velcro.
This is very obviously zippers.
Stripy socks. Wearing these very stripy socks.
Yes.
Brilliant costuming there. So yeah, there we got.
I like Zoe's costume.
Do you?
Yes.
Good. So basically, we start with a little scene where some people are going to be basically. It looks like they're going to be sacrificed in a way to the crotons. But
nothing good is going to come the way they're all sort of reacting to
it. They're all getting ceremonial robes put on them, and they all look really pleased that they've been chosen. Yes, Kirby.
Except for
I watched the first two episodes with Fred, and then she decided to go off and talk with her boyfriend or whatever. Anyway, during that very first few minutes, she said, "They're gonna get killed. I know it. I know it."
Don't you hate going to movies with people like that?
Oh, yeah. By the way,
I'm usually one of them.
We have had some messages come through on the feed. Ashley Hughes says, "Hey."
Hi.
Hey. Not hi. Hi. Ashley Hughes then says, "Whoop whoop." And then he says, sorry, Alan T. Butcher says, "They were grey." I think he's talking about the costumes.
Yeah,
they were. Anyway, yeah, it's a bit of a disagreement because Varna's boyfriend doesn't particularly want her to go into the Crotons because he's never seen anyone
out. He must know something that the rest don't.
Why? What? Eh?
No, he's just got an inquiring mind, is how he's thought.
Yeah, no, yes. But he's noticed. He's noticed that all the people that's been in there before, he's never seen again, and he quite likes Varna. He wants to see her again at some point, so that's why he objects to her going in there. And meanwhile, the Doctor, Jamie, and Zoe arrive in Aquaria. I mean, on the planet. And
I forgot to look up what quarry this is.
Does it really matter?
It does.
Yes.
Who said it does? Debbie, stop encouraging him. As I was saying, so they arrive in the quarry and
you guys have the opportunity to actually go and visit these places, but no.
As I was saying, have you visited when they did Doctor Who did what's the one where he gets shot in the lake?
I know people who did.
Yeah. Well, did you, Kirby? You have the opportunity of going there in Utah. It's Utah. Well, stop yawning. You have the opportunity of going to Utah. Did you, Kirby? Gone very quiet all of a sudden.
I've never been in Utah.
Oh, but you have the opportunity. I can't understand why you haven't been to Utah.
This country is a lot larger than...
Bravo, Adam.
Anyway, as I was saying.
This was filmed at two different quarries.
Was it?
Oh, my.
They're both in Malvern. They're both in Malvern, though. The West of England quarry and the Tank quarry.
Joy. So, yeah, they all they sort of think it's a sort of barren planet, and then they see these weird looking little huts. And
which is so funny, you can tell they're this little construct.
Yes. And I said little huts, and I meant
they're so tiny, they're like little matchboxes, but they're obvious matchboxes. Yeah. They're not looking down a great distance, it's obvious.
Yes, this indeed. Is called Doctor Who on a string budget.
Yes. But anyway, that makes the Doctor all excited, so they go down and find this sort of hexagonal door where a man sort of staggers out and gets disintegrated by smoke and steam.
Is his name Abu or something?
Yeah, Abu, yeah, isn't that monkey from
Abu,
Aladdin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abu.
Yeah. It is Abu. Yeah.
And then just after that happens, Varna goes into the machine and they basically save her life. When they realise she's gone in there, they run around the back because they go in to meet the Gons, and they get sticks poked at them, and they realise.
Jamie has a tussle, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets a bit tough in this episode. Yes. So they go around the back and stop Varna from getting killed by the machine, after having a few little scraps with people, and Varna, when they rescue her, she's sort of a bit like comatose, isn't she? She's not quite all there.
Yeah, she keeps going on about the bright light.
No, she didn't. She didn't say anything at this point.
Oh, later on she says it.
Yeah. Wakey-wakey, Debbie. You watch the episode.
Yeah, this may be the first story that Jamie didn't sleep halfway through.
Yes, he doesn't, does he?
Yeah.
The Doctor uses his fob watch. This is obviously before he put his own personality into it.
So you notice he's wearing a 20th century watch through this whole thing?
Yeah.
the Doctor? Oh, or Jamie?
Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie has a 1980s looking watch on his wrist.
1980s looking? How do you do that in 1960s?
This is 1966.
Yes, it looks
like a
watch, yeah.
Watch everybody wore in the 80s type thing. But yeah,
anyway.
68, sorry.
Back to the story. A little team of revolutionaries is put together by
Thara,
yeah, who's quite a good actor, actually. You can tell he's got a very.
I know who's going to win the quiz.
And then we've got the other chap, which is Thara's dad, yeah, who's the actual leader of the And then we meet the Crotons, but not quite directly. We go into their spaceship and we see that they're watching the X Factor for some reason.
They also have a machine from War of the Worlds come out the wall.
Yeah, I thought about that actually. Yeah. Yes, well done.
I was like, that's an eye from War of the Worlds.
Even though I was going to mention that, I'll let you have that one. They decide the revolutionaries decide they're going to go and smash up all the learning equipment.
Bloodlights.
And then there's a very iconic picture the sort of Croton's view of the Doctor with all the little dots and stuff, which I remember Alistair Pearson painted in his video cover for the Crotons when it came out on VHS. And of course that's quite clever because that's the face recognition, and of course we have face recognition now. Certainly thumbprint recognition on phones, but I'm sure face recognition is going to be the next thing. You don't actually have to use your thumb, using your face to put through Apple Pay transactions and stuff like that in the future. So anyway, the episode ends with the Doctor being attacked by, like you say, the eye thingy from War of the Worlds. he puts his hands in front of his face and that saves him. Genius plan.
Yeah, and then that poor guy who stood in the corner gets it.
My dog. If it's barking at the postman and you pull him away from barking the postman because he can't bite the postman, he'll bite you instead.
Yep.
Yes.
But yeah, once it's killed once, the Doctor surmises that it's okay now because it's obviously done its job. It's going to go back into the wall.
Yes, but when that bloke gets done in, I mean, it's a very quick shot. We have to actually pause the video, but someone's very painstakingly arranged the dust in a human shape on the floor.
Yes.
With the axe sort of just put in an appropriate spot.
I'd love to do something like that for a living. That'd be so funny. Props department, placing of powder type thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the Doctor is trying to bring Vala out of her coma by shining this piece of equipment, which is powered by solar energy, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, it's another one of those things. Because Zoe questions, they have electricity, they have axes. And that's when the Doctor sort of surmises about their being very great patches in their technology.
But that doesn't matter because they covered it in the script, so I can live with that. And Robert Holmes wrote it, so it must be a really good reason for it. Mm. Anyway. So we'll get it. Yeah, so the Doctor goes, of course, they go back to the learning room and Zoe, for some reason, probably to do with the script, they take Zoe with them and leave Jamie behind.
Master?
Oh, gosh.
I just posted a picture of Alistair Pearson's artwork for the Crotons VHS.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you, Kirby. Anyway, so Zoe decides she's, while the Doctor's out of sort of earshot, she's going to have a play around with the learning equipment because she's a bit of a smart aleck and wants to make herself look
I'm
going
to have a go at this. Nothing stupid going on here.
She's very proud of herself, though.
She might be academically clever.
It's so smart to just fall into that trap. Oh, they were very pleased with me. It's like, what?
Yeah. She's also wearing a shorter wig in this episode. It's a bit of a shame. So I prefer the longer wig. And then Jamie, who's looking after Vala and gives her the appropriate pills, Vala wakes up. And, she sort of sees the light and it's quite a nice little scene between her and...
ball, it's over my head!
Yes.
I know who's going to win the quiz this week.
Anyway, I was trying to say, that was quite a nice little dramatic scene between her and... The bloke who's relieving
Barbara.
Who? Barbara. No, okay. Barbara was in the earlier episodes. Never mind. I think you're talking about Thara, aren't you, Debbie?
Thara, yes.
Not Barbara.
No, not Barbara. No.
It'd
be funny if she turned up.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Funny. I've got an itchy eye. Hang on, scratch my eye. Just scratch my eye. Right. Don't forget your milk.
Well, the actress does show up in a Fourth Doctor story.
Yes, she does, but let's move on. Yeah, so the Doctor, meanwhile, he goes on the learning machine and cocks it all up, which is quite funny.
Yes, you didn't multiply, you divided. Yeah. Blinking idiot.
But eventually he's able to go into the machine because he wants to get into the machine with the protons and sort of see what's really going on.
Why did they do such a bad job with the bottom part of the Croton costume.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that, but we only see that fleetingly in episode four, if I remember rightly.
No, actually, we see them in, I believe this is episode three.
Oh, we
three,
do we? Yeah. Yeah, I think they really were only supposed to shoot them from sort of the waist upwards.
Yeah.
It's handy. There's two seats.
The one going down the ramp was really
yeah. But anyway, the Doctor and Zoe go inside, and but there's two seats for them, which I thought was quite handy. They just happened to be two seats ready for them.
Yes. Well, I mean, they always take people in pairs.
Yeah, they had two. Yeah, male and female before.
But they don't normally go in together, though. These two went in together. So never mind. I'm being picky. So yeah, their minds get.
They did go in together because Thara stopped Varna from going in.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah. Well done, Debbie. Just thank testing. You. Don't get any points.
I know who's going to win the quiz.
All right, shut up, Kirby. So anyway, the Doctor and Zoe have their minds sort of battered a little bit by the Croton's machine.
Ouch! Ooh, ouch!
And the Doctor has a bottle of something or other.
Well, they've got their... That's a later.
Yeah.
No, but in this episode, he's gone in there. They've just been... Yeah, let's work around. He's got a bottle.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Collecting some of the liquid that was in the
slurry.
In the vat.
You're forgetting that they held that wire between them to try and what was it?
Yeah, I didn't forget that, dear. I was going to mention that after I talked about this bit. It wasn't a wire. It was a bit of chain.
Yes,
it was a chain, dear. Debbie.
Yeah.
It's a chain.
The chain, yeah.
Not a wire. Anyway, the Doctor puts some mica in some mechanism of the door. And they run out the back and escape and don't get disintegrated. And the Crotons aren't particularly pleased by this. And Jamie manages to get himself... When he realises that they've allowed the Doctor and Zoe into the machine, he manages to get in as well.
They let him in because they think he's another one like them, another high brain.
Yeah,
and then
but,
they
realise just for the sake of the cliffhanger that it might kill him. But he doesn't die, obviously, because we haven't got to the war games yet. He doesn't even die in the war games, just to save anybody worrying about it. Doctor and Zoe, meanwhile, go back to the TARDIS.
Eventually, we end up seeing him in a Sixth Doctor story.
Yeah, right. Doctor and Zoe go back to the TARDIS, which obviously worries Jamie a little bit because he thinks he's going to be left behind. And then the Crotons attack the TARDIS and makes it look like it's been destroyed because after the smoke and that's gone away.
The Hads!
It's the Hads.
Would you stop kicking the cabinet? Philip Madoc goes in and throws his weight around a bit and takes over.
Are you sure it's that Madoc?
Shut up. He takes over from the bloke with the sideburns. No, he didn't actually take over from him, but the bloke with the sideburns has a set of sideburns on him, doesn't he? They are some sideburns. So Jamie just sits on the spaceship and... One minute, there's no need to destroy him because they need to save energy for the Dinotrope and things like that. So he sort of plays along with it.
Yeah, he learns how long they've got till they exhaust and things like that.
And they grab him and say, "Do not damage the specimen," or something like that. You know. And then they realise he's not worth anything, so they sort of change their attitude towards him a little bit. But clever Jamie manages, after soaking up all this information, manages to get out of the machine after shooting them with some large torpedo-shaped thing. How he knew that was a gun, I do not know.
He knew it was a gun because one of the Crotons left earlier with one.
Okay. But he works it out of fire. Anyway, the Doctor and Zoe come out of the TARDIS with a carrier bag and an empty plastic bottle.
And they realise that the Crotons are actually blind in the light, don't they?
They did. But the Doctor has a cunning plan, which we don't learn about till later. So Jamie manages to get himself out because he basically...
There were some plot holes with some of that sulfuric acid business.
Yeah. Yeah, but
how quickly they made it as well.
Yes. Well, there's lots of sulfur around it. And they went into the TARDIS and probably had a special machine for distilling it. So meanwhile, like I say, Jamie gets out. He does shoot one of the Crotons, which does something to it, doesn't it, temporarily?
No, it just distracts him. It distracts it. And then the Croton thinks that he's killed him.
Yeah, so he gets out, and again, Philip Madoc's throwing his weight around and taking over, and They decide that they're going to attack the Crotons with their little axes and, well, so is it slings, isn't it?
Fireballs and slings.
Fireballs and slings.
Fireballs and slings. Fireballs and slings.
Yeah. What, they didn't have any pitchforks or torches?
No, that was in Shrek. anyway,
that was in Frankenstein.
It was Shrek, actually. Thank
Burn you, on the rim.
Isabella.
I watched it this morning.
Yeah,
so, it may have been in Shrek, but the whole bit.
Yeah.
Original doesn't matter. It's in Shrek.
Way back.
It's in Shrek. What's the important link here, Isabella? Shrek. Thank you. For the cliffhanger of episode 3, a crack in space and time appears in the ceiling, and then the great big lump of rock, and someone else threw a few more bits of rock through the hole so it could land on the Doctor, and we could spend a week worrying about whether the Doctor had survived or not. Because at this stage, the future of the show was a bit in doubt. But he did survive, and of course a few more rocks fell on him as well.
Yes, just make sure, and then lands on Thara.
Yeah, and when it lands on him, there's a rock right up his crotch. That must have been blooming painful.
Yes.
As the Doctor and Zoe go into move, the rock moves quite considerably just before they sort of. If that had been a real rock, the two of them would not have been able to move it. And
right.
His leg would have been.
When they go to grab it, it actually depresses in like it's a pillow or something.
Yeah. And his leg would have been like a
jelly.
Wafer thin.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, like a sausage.
A sausage.
Yeah. You reckon like a sausage?
But anyway,
the fact that Zoe asked the Doctor for his braces, and he's like, "No," and gives him
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh."
So yeah, they maybe this rock was heavy to the Doctor and Zoe, but on these gons had very strong bones, so that's why.
The bones.
The bones. Jamie's very proactive in his shut up. In his he's very sort of action man in this particular story.
Yes, isn't he? Yeah, he's really got an eye. He uses the mica as well, the same way the Doctor did.
Yes, he did.
Stuck.
He's paying attention to stuff in this episode. Unlikely, not very much like Jamie this. Excuse me. But he gets trapped in the door on his way out, and like Winnie the Pooh, the Doctor and Zoe.
Getting fat.
And he's sent then into the lab to make up the Doctor's little anti-croton liquid.
It's the soup for the croton.
Yeah, primeval soup.
Master.
Soup for the croton. Yes, very good.
Master.
Debbie, hang on, Kirby. She said. Soup for the croutons, which gets one of these.
As Julia was visiting this weekend from college, and she left about 15 minutes before we started recording. And as she left, she said, "Goodbye, enjoy talking about your salad toppings."
Don't laugh, Debbie.
It's funny.
No, it's not.
Don't I get a...
No. Anyway.
Ouch.
I liked it.
The Doctor and Zoe wander back into the Croton ship. And then, what's his name, runs in and gets blasted smithereens. What's his name?
Zelris, yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name?
They've all got names that's difficult to remember.
One of them.
So anyway, the Doctor and Zoe sort of wind up the Crotons for a little bit before eventually... throw in their little concoction into their little tank, which doesn't do them much good because they turn into polystyrene and then start dissolving.
I don't wonder how the one went outside without being attached to the tank.
Hey, pardon?
When the one that went outside
wasn't attached to the tank, was it?
It's not attached to any tank.
Oh, does that mean it's still there?
I don't know.
No, it came back, didn't it? And then suddenly reattached the tank again.
Maybe they can reattach. I don't know.
Okay. But at the end of the day, they obviously it's the end of the Croton. The Doctor, Jamie and Zoe sneak off, which upsets the sideburn person because he wanted to learn a bit from the Doctor.
Beta.
Did he? Was he drinking Stella Artois? What happened there? Wasn't it? Oh, thank you. So, yes, that was... I know it's playing in the bloody iTunes as well now. Yeah, so that was the Crotons. Now I'm going to say what I think about it now. I was quite disappointed that Andy implied that this wasn't a very good story, although it has got some slight issues with dodgy props and costumes and stuff like that. It's quite a fun little story. Shout out, it's quite a fun little story, and it paces well. It gives a certain characters a chance to have a bit of a turn as the, you know, the interesting companion, which I was saying this one was Jamie, and introduced Philip Maddock, which is also a very good thing. So I do like Philip Maddock. But all in all, I really, really enjoyed the story. It's four parts, and a Doctor Who story should be four parts, and apart from New Who, obviously. So I can't see what he's got a problem with. Thoroughly good and enjoyable Doctor Who. Debbie, what did you think? It's the first time you've ever seen it.
It is the first time I've ever seen it, and I've heard good things and bad things about it. And I'm really glad it was four episodes, because if it hadn't padded out any further, it would have really been terrible. But the four-parter was really good. It kept going, and you had good cliffhangers, and it really drew you into the story and the well-rounded characters that you were meeting. But I did find it quite funny how many times they basically went round and round through the machine, back into the wasteland, back into the city. That got a bit dizzying after a while. So then when you stopped with the Croton for a while, who was being directed to the TARDIS, it was like, oh, thank God, we stopped running around in circles for a few minutes. But I really enjoyed it. It's a nice little story. Nice to see Zoe messing up for a change. And I really enjoyed it. I loved the characters, and I thought Beta was brilliant.
Was he drinking Stella?
I just loved his curiosity. I've got so much to learn. Let's just bung it in here and we'll blow up if necessary, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, that's a pioneering attitude. I really like that.
That's very much the American attitude, no offence, but...
it's true.
Blow it up! Well, the Ronald Reagan attitude.
Throw it in and see what happens. Yeah. I like that.
Crawl against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Kirby, what did you think? I love this. Sorry, carry on.
This is the first time I ever saw it as well.
What?
Yeah.
He said,
"Look, it's always possible for me to have not seen a story, even though I've had the DVD for years and years. I always heard bad things about it, so I kind of avoided it. And I actually enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. There were plot holes and stuff, but it was just fun. The fact that it was four episodes made it easy to watch, and it was enjoyable with plot holes. plus I liked Zoe's little outfit.
Do you know? Well, there are certain websites you can go at to see things like that, Kirby.
I posted a picture of the actual red and black outfit on our Facebook page several days ago.
With Croutons picture.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, another one. I did another one.
These were definitely croutons.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. Right then, everybody. Mary, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I'm going to disappoint you, because in truth, I liked it.
Oh, my God. How is that going to be disappointing?
I missed our main character's last story. That story was more about Packer and Bond together, and the brig, and Unit, and the Doctor, and Jamie and Zoe were always kind of in the background, or asleep, or not around. So the fact that they front and center in this one, they were the main characters in this one, I really liked it for that.
Oh, we've got to say that again. Oh, we've got to play it again now, then. Sorry, Mary. Hurry
up. When Kirby posted about Zoe's outfit, and it said that it had to be, like, remade several times because it...
Yes.
It makes me wonder, because this is obviously a very cheap episode. They probably had to throw it together after they probably spent it all on the invasion. And you know, it's apparent, and the Croton outfits are not complete. Everybody's in really boring, bland stuff. You know, they got their little pickaxes. There's so many cheap effects.
They may be saving money up for War Games.
I know something very important's just come through on the thread.
What?
Ian Kirk.
Oh. Oh, she wasn't done yet.
Shut up, Anthony. I'll have to say interrupt because Ian Kirk can see us live for the first time.
Yes. Hello.
Right, you may continue, Mary. Sorry.
yeah, but I mean, the thing, and what made it fun to watch is how cheaply it was made, and you could, you know, tell the plot holes, and you could see all the problems, you know, that they decided not to spend money on. But the remaking of Zoe's outfit must have been a real, you know, frustrating thing. But anyway, yeah, for the reasons that the main characters were front and center and that it was amusing to watch, I did enjoy it.
Well, there you go, everybody. What do you think of that then, Deb?
Cool.
We're going on a bit of a run here. Right. I suppose we're going to move
Ellen
on.
Ellen T. Butcher just posted, the captain is on the bridge.
It's time for Andy Nunny.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes. It's Andy Nunny here. 11 minutes past 1 in the afternoon. Shortly going to London after the rest of the day, so sadly won't be able to join tonight or very late. But I thought I'd give you my thoughts on Protons. Just finished watching it. Now, this for me, I remember this being the first ever Pat Troughton story I saw, and I'm willing to bet that it's probably the same for Adam as well, because this was repeated as part of the Five Faces, just for Peter Davison to go as Doctor. And so I think a lot of people, in the days before we had video recorders, and obviously long before we had DVDs, were the first Troughton they've actually seen live. I was four when I've seen Troughton stop being a Doctor, so I might have been in the same room, but I don't remember watching it, and probably didn't take much notice of it then. But anyway, I've just watched it, and yeah, it's not very good, is it? Let's be honest. It's, the last episode just drags completely, doesn't it? You know, you think it's building a climax, but it isn't really. It's just that very awful scene with the Doctor and Zoe clowning around before they put the headsets on. And there's other bits of it, it's just... Well, what was the storyline? Yeah, the storyline was people who are oppressed thrown off their oppressors, and that's really about it. And it just takes them so long to do it. Of course, you've got Philip Maddock, who... plays himself, plays a part that's going to name a piece shortly afterwards, so I wonder what people thought of that. But I mean, the Gons really were pretty pathetic, weren't they? They were sort of totally blind to what was going on, couldn't understand why all their young, bright young kids were, you know, never seen again. You know, they thought sort of going to some sort of golden place, but clearly they weren't. The, you know, no one was curious to go outside and see these wastelands, you know, were they actually as bad as people thought? Well, no, they weren't. So the Doctor turned up and actually started challenging them. There's very few people to think about it. The Rebels were pretty clueless, but I suppose, you know, a lot of Rebels are in Doctor Who, aren't they? I suppose they have to be, otherwise for any good, then we think the Doctor do. So, the Protons themselves, I mean, not exactly terrifying, are they? You know, they're sort of, just sort of singular, built out of cardboard boxes, you know. They weren't sort of Blue Peter competition winners worthy or something like that, but, I'm afraid just not very, very good, really, were they? And I can see why the Doctor and Zoe and James decided to disappear very quickly after they'd done their usual saving apps. I mean, who'd really want to stick around and look after that lot? I mean, goodness knows sort of what their sort of a society would have. But yeah, so that was... I think this was, you know, Doctor Who getting a bit tired. You can see why it was possible that it wasn't going to be continued after Pat Troughton left. Because when you get stories like this, it's... not at its best. I think, you know, when it was repeated, shows that we wanted to repeat it, there was only five at the distance of the time. Yes, I think it's the only four parts that they had left. Yes, they could have chosen something better than mine, Robert, but they didn't. But anyway, that's that. That's the Protons for you. Until next time, we'll be seeing you.
Of course, Andy's wrong. We all know that, don't we, everybody?
The reason they were...
Well, he's gone, Kurt. He's gone the shirt. That hasn't happened for a while.
Nice. Zoe and the Doctor were doing all the business with the headsets because they were trying to buy some time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there was a story reason for it. It wasn't for self.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you believe in life after love?
What?
Feels thing that me dear.
Oh, one thing I would like to say is the actress playing Vanna.
Yes.
She's a perfect example of a bad actress. Because if you watched her, when nobody was talking to her, her face would be completely dead. And even as someone was talking to her, she would, you know, dead face. But then she would suddenly light up when it was her line. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of fun to watch. She must have been there for her looks.
Do you reckon? Anything popped up, Debbie Melrose?
yes, but I'm really not up for reading long words.
Oh, yes, you are. Isn't she, everybody?
Oh, yes, you are.
He's watching. I'm not being funny. He can't see you, but he is watching.
Yes, I know, and I'm going to let down big time.
No, you're going to read it big time to not let him down. The only thing that would let him down, be quiet, is if... oh, God, hang on. Isabella wants to read it.
Debbie can read it if she wants to.
Well, if I mess up, I'll hand over.
Yeah. Yeah, go on then. I'm going to sit back and listen to this.
Sorry, I've got chocolate in my mouth.
That's no excuse.
Crotonist abuse of the proletariat. Dear 20 megabyters, some might think the Crotons with their South African voices are an examination of racism and the apartheid regime, but it is not. The Crotons is, of course, a closely studied parable about unfettered capitalist abuse of the proletariat. Clearly, the Gons are being used to serve the needs of the top 1%. As such, the Gons are maintained at the minimal level of subsistence required and barred by social norms from straying into thoughts antagonistic to those they work for. Thus is created a classic Overton window which preserves the status quo against the interests of the 99%. By breaking that Overton window in promoting the investigation into acid, the Doctor shows Beta the way to kick up a stink and overturn the capitalist yoke by undermining its very foundations. Very nice, Alan T. We also learn that Solon, later adherent of Time Lord Morbius, started out as a Gond rebel leader, and if anything became more likable as the servant of the evil murderous Time Lord. I love this story, and yes, part of that is the fact that it was by far the first Troughton story I saw during my introduction to the wider world of Doctor Who, which was The Five Faces of Doctor Who when I was 10 years old. However much as it is talked down by many, this is actually a solid science fiction story with deep roots in Hellenic mythology and with quite a lot of scientific and political meat to it. And crucially, whilst being a typical brief, it still crams in a great deal of what makes Troughton and his companions brilliant. Furthermore, the ending where the indigenous population with some pointers from the Doctor solve, or in this case, dissolve, their big problem, leaving them to pick up the pieces whilst the Doctor quietly slips away, is pretty much the perfect Doctor Who story ending. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yeah, you were moaning, Deb, saying, oh, I won't be able to read that.
I think he was being kind.
Oh, here we go. Right, I'm talking of Alan T. Butcher. We have some words that come through on the thread. Andy didn't understand it, too highbrow. Ashley Hughes says, your name will go on the list. What is it? Philip Maddock. Stop knock a chug in the table.
Don't tell him, Pike.
Ian Kirk said, barcode. And then he says, does Isabella's T-shirt have a barcode? I think he meant to say code there. The S is right next to the D. Yeah. Isabella keeps showing... She says it's banana. Right, so we have some more feedback.
Yeah, we should have some Captain Kirk feedback.
Should we really?
Yay!
The Crotons by Robert Holmes. Another story, another quarry. The Croton spaceship has made a forced landing. It was powered by mental energy. The robots were trying to develop the Gons to the point where they would be able to get the spacecraft back into space. They'd been at it for 1,000 years. I don't think Beta could make sulfuric acid. To make it from sulfur, you don't just add it to water. You have to burn it in oxygen first. I suppose it is a case of artistic license. It is not a chemistry program. Zoe's skirt is even shorter than Amy Pond's.
Much to Kirby's delight.
It's not very practical for rock climbing. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Captain.
Right, I'm now writing the names down. So I saw
Star Trek Beyond yesterday, so I saw the captain there.
So what did you think of our limited supply of feedback again this week then? Shall we call an end to the feedback item?
No.
Never.
Never.
Well, if nobody writes in what one week, which could be the case, what are we going to do then?
We just had a whole bunch of feedback.
Yeah, make it up, yes, or...
We just move on that day.
Just move on. No feedback this week, shame. You know, that sort of thing, and there you go.
I love winding you up. It's great fun. We don't get a lot of enjoyment out of life.
And it works.
Yeah, winding you lot up is...
Evil.
Darling, it's... Wow.
What?
Isabella's just found the quiz on the iPad.
Well done, Isabella.
And we've got 24% battery life left on it.
Don't show me the answers.
Well, you're not here.
Are you at
Adam's or are you at your place?
No, I'm at my place, but she every time she read the questions...
She'll just show them up to the camera.
Further and further away.
Anyway, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. My bow,
yeah. Keep your hands off.
If you want to read the questions out, you do not touch the bow.
Okay.
My prediction is Debbie.
Okay, how do you know I was going to ask you first?
Usually does.
I don't know.
Debbie,
what's your prediction?
Me.
My goodness.
I think it should be a rule not
Mary?
To do yourself.
Oh, shut up, Kelly.
Well, then I vote for Anna.
Yes,
no.
Being nice wrote, the first few times.
You don't get
and
two goes
for
yourself.
Mary?
Oh, she hardly ever votes for herself, so be quiet. Tell Kirby to be quiet.
No, I'm telling you to be quiet.
No, I'm doing the quiz.
You be quiet. Mary?
Adam.
And
Debbie?
I'm going to. It's quite an easy quiz this week, actually, so I'm going to go for Debbie.
Oh, really?
Oh my God!
So everyone have a chance. Debbie.
Yeah, everyone goes for Debbie, but we still have the Joker.
That makes the whole thing
rather superfluous. Because we've all chosen Debbie. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it?
I better perform well.
It's the first time we've all
chosen.
I beg your pardon, Debbie. We have children in the room. Okay, first question then, Isabella.
You too.
Kirby.
Pasta.
What class was selected?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear it.
Well, listen then.
I know.
What class was selected?
3196 in the first grade.
Correct.
Oh, darn.
Happens every week, doesn't it? Debbie, your question.
Yes.
What was the female's name?
Joker.
Yeah.
Varna Gond.
Correct.
No, Varna, really. The Gond part. They were all called Gond.
Joker Varna Gond.
Yeah.
Joker Varna Gond.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What was the doctor's first comment?
I know.
I have no idea.
Hang on. This is what we're looking for. Right, Kirby says he knows.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Correct.
Right. So it's Kirby's question.
Master.
What did the doctor think was bracing?
Wait, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm having trouble hearing. What?
What did the doctor think was bracing?
The smell of sulfur and ozone.
Correct.
You Joker.
Debbie.
Yes.
Who did the doctor, Jamie and Zoe see killed?
Abu Gond.
You nearly said it then, didn't you, Isabella?
No, I went.
No, I see. Sorry.
Yes.
Harry.
Yes.
What time did the doctor's pocket watch show?
You won't get this one, so I'm going to play my Joker.
Oh, you're right. I don't know.
I won't get it either.
Hang on. I've got to play this noise. And anybody else? Oh, now we're playing iTunes again.
Can I have the question again, please?
Go on and say the question again.
What time did a doctor's pocket watch show?
That was a well played Joker, wasn't it, Isabella? Right, so the next question goes to.
Wait, what time is it?
Oh, two minutes past. Oh, sorry. Nearly 2:05. So 2:05. All right? Pay attention.
Yeah, 2:05.
Oh my God, I wrote it down.
Kirby.
Oh dear.
Kirby, I think it's
lost
your
my highlighter. I have a highlighter normally to highlight.
Kirby.
Master.
Your question.
Yeah.
What did the Krytons last come out of the machine?
When did it says quite when, clearly?
When did the Krytons last come out of the machine?
How many years ago was that?
That's more or less the question.
A thousand years.
Correct.
Oh, near enough. Thousands of years ago, but I'll give you that one.
What?
The answer was thousands of years ago, but that's thousand is the word I'm looking for. Right.
See, that's why I didn't want to do the Joker. I wasn't quite sure.
Fair enough. We could have played on the last two questions. Debbie?
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows the secrets?
Ooh. This is sounding very quiet, which I quite like the sound of.
I don't know his name, but he's custodian of the learning hall.
That's the answer. Oh, well, now he made me press the wrong thing.
Yeah, I don't think he has a name.
Okay, so
that's the answer.
Custodian of the learning hall.
Who said it? No, don't get it twice. Mary.
Yes.
What is? What is
Beta
job?
What's his job? What's Beta's job?
I know.
Joker.
Go on in, Mary.
Controller of science.
Correct.
Oh! Yay! Yes. And this is now appropriate time for a score update.
Yeah. Okay. Last place. Sorry, Mary. Before. In third place with 5 points is Dan Adam.
Get on with it.
In second place with 7 points is Kirby. And in first place with 8 points is Debbie.
This isn't Big Brother. You don't have to do a great big suspense build-up to the blimmin'. Just read the blimmin' things off.
And the winner is...
We'll tell you after the break.
And this is early days in the competition.
Right, next question goes to Kirby.
What was the first Kryton statement?
Oh, I know.
I sure don't, so there.
Oh, good. Point for me. Anybody? Sorry, yeah, Mary, I heard you say I know.
This is a warning.
Yay.
Okay. Right, Debbie's got the next question.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Shut up.
Okay.
What would be more useful than an axe?
Atomic laser.
Correct.
Is that better than an axe? I love that.
Mary's question.
What did the doctor think of the Kryton's wish to seek and attack him?
Stop playing with a... cover.
I don't know.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Pass it on.
Anybody else?
No.
I'm getting the tough ones.
Ooh, careful choice of words in there.
Machine or something.
What was the answer, Isabella?
Rather flattering.
Rather flattering.
Next question goes to... that was Mary's question, wasn't it? That last one.
Yes, next one's mine.
Kirby.
Master.
What machine did a doctor wish the Gons had?
I know.
Joker.
Oh,
an
here we go.
ETC machine.
Oh, I just dropped the pen. Sorry, you can't get the points, I've dropped the pen. So that's therefore
correct.
I can't put the points down. No, my belt. And Joker gone. Right then, so next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of Gond leader?
Selgris.
Pardon?
Selgris.
I did hear it in the end, actually. Yeah, Mary?
Yes.
Yep.
Mary should have got that one.
What did
You keep getting the ones I know the answers to.
What did Vanna fret about when she woke up?
What did Vanna fret about when she woke up?
friend. Oh, I don't remember.
Anybody?
Was it the ball, the burning ball?
Yeah.
It was. Next question goes to Kirby.
What were the machine foundations like?
Oh, I know.
I think I know too.
What do you mean?
What were the machine foundations like?
I remember, a root structure.
Correct.
Got there in the end, didn't we, everybody?
That was a loud one.
Debbie.
Oh, sorry, I got excited.
Woohoo! Well, because there was a picture of Zoe in a very short skirt. Right. Debbie's question is.
What did the doctor exclaim when the bell sounded to select Zogond?
Great jumping gobstoppers, what's that?
Correct.
Mary's question. Want me to do it?
No. What did the Crotons use, the doctor and Zoe's metal energy for?
Mental energy, sorry, I should say mental energy.
Mental energy for.
You're right, Mrs. Grammar. Right, the question is, what did the Crotons use the Doctor and Zoe's mental energy for?
To feed the Dinotrope.
No, please, that gives me a point. Anybody else?
I would have said something similar.
You would have been wrong.
Transfers the Dinotrope back to their own
right,
gossip.
So there we go. That's another one for me.
I think it's something to do with transferring the mental power into...
No, it's to operate the thermal switch. Please pay attention. So who was that last question for?
I guess I'll have to find a screenshot.
I think it was...
What?
That was Mary, wasn't it?
It was Mary's question, so therefore, score update. There we go.
Okay.
A bit quicker this time, please.
Last place, 5 points, Mary. Third place, 11 points, Dad, Adam. And second place with 13 points is Kirby. And first place with 15 points is Debbie.
Surprise, surprise. So the next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
And that is this.
If I can find it. What did Jamie want to use to attempt to gain energy.
Start again.
What did Jamie want to use to attempt to gain entry to the
Crotons?
I don't remember.
Oh, I do.
So it's one of these for Kirby, and a point for me. And Mary?
A piece of mica.
No,
another point for me.
No. That's how he gets out.
That's how he got in, too.
Yes, the answer was, Isabella?
A crowbar.
Oh, that's right.
Well, if you knew, Debbie, why didn't you answer?
Because Mary said it before me.
Okay.
All right, next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
Did the doctor use to bridge the gap?
Our next question goes to Mary.
What was that?
What did the doctor use to bridge the gap? And she'd only said that on the previous question. So it was, what was it, Debbie?
Mica.
Yes. All right, Mary.
Yes.
How long had the Gons been enslaved?
Very quiet. Has a Skype link gone?
It's 1,000 years.
So what's the difference? What's the difference between that question and my question?
Yeah, exactly.
Your question, the answer was thousands of years ago, but you said thousands, so I gave you that because I was feeling kind. I could easily take that away. What do you reckon, Deb?
Thank you, Master.
He's behaving. Keep letting him have it.
Okay. Right. The next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who was Cyrus's son?
I know.
Who was
Celris's son? Yeah, who was Celris's son?
Come on! I got all the names mixed up. I'm gonna say Beta. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame.
No, I know.
Pardon, Mary?
It's Zara.
Is it night?
No.
No.
Excellent.
Thara.
Thara, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wrong, yeah, but you don't get any points.
Zara.
You don't know Thara.
No.
Thara.
Thara.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't hear it right on the screen.
Sorry,
I
that's no excuse. Debbie.
Well, that's page 2372.
Shut up. Debbie's question.
Yes.
How did Thara describe eels?
Eel?
Eels.
Why does it come as eel for?
I
know. I think that might have been a spell correction there. Someone
like Elec.
Elec, it should be.
Elec's political views.
He's a patriot.
Is the correct answer.
Eeyore.
Eeyore? Where do you get Eeyore from? Oh, yeah. I've lost where I was on this now. Where's my little marker? Oh, there it is. Right. Next question goes to Mary.
What machine needs high range?
The Dynatrope.
Yeah. It was an answer for
running
something.
Out of questions now.
It was going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right, this is the last round of three. Last round of three questions, so we have a score update. Try and do it.
Two questions of.
Yeah, all right, I know this. Just read the question. Read the scores.
Last place, 9 points, Mary. Third place, 13 points, Kirby.
Yay.
Second place, 15 points, Adam. And in first place.
Stop building it up. We can only be one person.
Right. And there was great rejoicing.
The next question goes to Kirby, and it is this.
Master.
Camera Zoe, need to lean over.
What is the worst smell in the world, according to Zoe?
I've let it go, by the way.
Hydrogen telluride.
Beg your pardon?
Hydrogen telluride.
Correct. Yep.
Debbie's question.
What did
Beta
keep saying to Jamie in the lab?
I don't know.
Oh, don't echo one bit. Shut up! What the bleep put that question in for a specific joke? Oh, God. Ruin that one. The idea was she was going to say, I don't know, and I was going to say, oh dear, it's a shame. Anybody else know? But you ruined it. All right, Mary, your question. Mary.
You told me.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious. It says, never mind. Mary. Actually, I did see that on the chase the other day. There was one of the questions on the chase in the little 1 minute sort of cash builder was, what do they call it when one player plays the ball to another player? And the bloke went pass, and you got the answer correct. No, it's true. That is true. That's no me making up a joke. It was the first I've ever seen on a quiz on TV somebody actually, the answer being pass. There you go. Anyway, moving on. Next question goes to Mary, I think. Is that right?
Yes, right.
Yes.
Mary, this is your question.
Where was Croton's last words?
Oh, yeah, it is that one. What were... That's what it should say. What were the Croton's last words? Sorry. I was tired when I wrote these questions.
What were the Croton's last words?
I know.
What?
This is Mary's question, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the Croton's last words? Yes.
It was a funny scene. Yeah.
The last thing that I wrote down for the Crotons is, we have restored power.
That's what you said, did you? Okay, well, therefore it goes like this.
No.
And Kirby says it's...
What's happening?
Alright. Oh, what was that?
Do anything.
Welcome, you were leaning over there and then something fell down. Maybe it's nothing of any importance.
It's a ghost.
What is it? A screw. That's a screw from my... Don't put it in your mouth! Just put it on the shelf. It's a tiny screw that's from my very expensive camera holster. Next question is a free-for-all question. There's two of these. The first of these two free-for-all questions is this, and it's 2 points available for this. Come on, Isabella.
What percentage...
Hilarious. Do you want me to do this?
No.
I'll read it out.
What percentage... what percentage...
I know.
Debbie says she knows. Go on, Debbie.
80%.
Correct.
Next free-for-all question, and the last one of the competition, and it will have no bearing on the winner, is this. Lean in.
What actor, famous as a Dalek, voiced a Krypton?
I know.
Go on in.
Roy Skelton.
Correct!
Hey, brilliant.
Right. I mean, turn it off. Oh, the battery running out.
There's no fighting.
Oh, share's back. Do you believe in life after love? Everything happens. I'm just singing because I'm writing down the scores. Right, there goes about our final score.
Which one
do I think? This one. Yeah, everybody chose Debbie, so that just ends up with these scores.
Okay, last place with 22 points is Mary. It's a draw for second place.
Is it?
Yeah.
How is it a draw? Oh, yeah, so it is.
It's Kirby and Adam. Yeah. 20 points. And the winner is Debbie!
Yay! With how many?
46.
I like to write it down. Yay, Debbie!
And the idea that Kirby had that you're not allowed to pick yourself is nonsense. So much so that I'm going to deduct 2 points from his score this week. And he's now on 30. So, I now to second place, and Kirby down to third.
We are
now. No, we can't hear you any great, Kirby. You just sound like a share. Yeah, so, we've got to look at some news. I really should make Deb use a computer when she's not in the room with me, and actually get her to get... My voice gets worn out in these situations, but no, I have to go trawling through the internet,
news on, and I'm
pushing the bandwidth to its full...
looking at a lovely picture of David Suchet.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Oh, no.
Do you believe... No. Pardon?
Barely.
I'm not sure what the problem is.
The problem is you now? Sound like Cher. Do you believe... Hang on, if I do this... I don't think I've got this.
We all know what the real score was, so...
No, the real score was Debbie 1. No, I haven't got any Cher songs.
Oh, she got computer. One. Oh, point? Okay.
Shut up, Isabella.
Why is it still giving me a problem? It shouldn't be.
But it is.
I bet it is.
Because you're not using a Mac like us three. Isn't that right, girls? Isn't that right, girls?
Oh, I bet it does.
Funny. Well, shut up! Not only are we using a Mac, we're also using a iPhone to do the video streaming.
It's from the bandwidth, not the kind of computer I'm using.
Oh, I see.
So
it's
you could tell yourself that.
Yes. Oh, obviously you could hear me.
What could he? News. Right, we went past the circulation figures last week. What are you fiddling with now?
Something.
Can you just put it back? We're supposed to be keeping this room as clear as possible, getting a new carpet.
Now you're going share on me.
That's your fault.
And not to me.
No. Doctor Who Club of Australia, that was last week. David Suchet is to appear in Doctor Who. I wonder if he's going to play Poirot. They should get him to play Poirot in Doctor Who, don't you think?
Well, we've got Agatha Christie.
I know, but it'd be funny.
Master.
They could redo Mind Robber, and so the Doctor meets some fictional characters.
Master?
Yes?
There's a lot of speculation because his character is being called the Landlord, since he has a definitive article in front of this that possibly he is a Time Lord.
Woohoo!
And there's been speculation that door in the is equal to a TARDIS.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I've heard this. It's like it's going to be very exciting.
Yes. Yeah, good.
My of course, we see the episode and then we're all disappointed.
Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah, of course.
But I like David Suchet, so that's good. And there's
I've never heard of him.
Another Lethbridge Stewart. Well, he plays Poirot in the Poirot.
Yeah, do
well,
what?
You know, I know, but I never watched that show because it never interested me.
What, Poirot?
Poirot, yes.
Hercule Poirot.
Look it up on YouTube. He's brilliant. And his brother's a really good. His brother's a really good newsreader. Ironically, where we're doing the news at the moment. Will you stop drifting? Has it got anything to do with Doctor Who, Isabella? Put it down. Peter Capaldi and Pearl McKee to attend New York Comic Con.
That was Mackie.
Will you stop fiddling? Put it down. Of course, I'll have an Alicia in the room. Right. Yeah, it's 15% off Lavazzi. Obviously, by the time this podcast goes out, that offer will be over because it was for the weekend only. I did post a link to this on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
That's
50%. 15%, sorry. Very good offer, that. I'm sure Kirby got himself another stuff.
Also posted that.
You couldn't breathe. Kirby, we can't hear you. But I say, it works as a very good way of killing two birds with one stone. And
with MDR also posted that on the page.
What do you think of what Kirby sounds like, Isabella?
No matter how hard I try.
Would you? I'm gonna.
Sounds a bit like the cyber thing and the invasion the other week, wasn't it? The yes. Yeah, so Lavazzi, Deb's really excited about this, but she still didn't buy anything from them. Did you, Deb?
Yeah, they've had a how long's the offer been on for?
All weekend, yeah. That's what I just said. It was a weekend offer. It says from Saturday morning to Sunday night.
I don't get paid till the week after next, so it's right in the middle of my.
I didn't buy anything either.
Were we talking about the next recording?
No.
Oh my goodness, Lavazzi.
You hear me?
Talking about Lavazzi, dear.
Terribly, we can hear you.
We're talking about Lavazzi, and it says to mark the seventh Doctor's. That's Sylvester McCoy, who I will hopefully be meeting in a couple of months' time. His 73rd birthday. Okay. Lavazzi
are absolutely
offering 50% off there.
I absolutely adored having my picture taken with him that day because I was the first one in. And the picture I've got of us both laughing our heads off is brilliant.
Michael Napier Bryan has passed away. He was 79 years old and he appeared in the War Games, which obviously we're getting to see him soon. He played Arturo Villa. That's soldier plucked from the Mexican Civil War who helped the Second Doctor in the battle against the Warlord. Well, it says it's Warlord, but it says Warlords here, but I think it's actually Warlord. Heaven Sent misses out on the Hugo Award, and I don't think Kirby
posted that this morning.
Beg your pardon?
Kirby posted that this morning.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you for the translation, Debbie. Appreciate that.
I post the every year.
I love the way nobody can understand a word he's saying, yet he still persists in trying to say something. It's quite amusing. Right, so that concludes news. Really, sort of quite thin, really, considering they're actually making the series at the moment. You would have thought there'd be a few bits and bobs coming through, but nope, nothing whatsoever.
Yeah, very little's coming through.
Mm.
Yeah, there's not been much news considering they're filming, and there's been lots of.
Sure, I just said that. Did I just say that, Isabella?
Yes, you did, but we were just concurring.
Yeah. All you had to say was, I concur.
concur.
Yeah, whowon.co.uk? Pardon?
Audible.co.uk, which obviously Kirby isn't audible at
is
the
is that
moment.
What he was trying to say?
I don't know.
It's funny though, isn't it? yeah, latest products, the DWM Special 44 on location, but not on location of the new series, on location of City of Death. And also the DWM 502, these products can be bought from Who One quicker if you live elsewhere in the world than actually waiting for them to arrive in your relevant countries. Official cookbook, a Doctor Who cookbook, I'm sure it's got things like fish fingers and custard in it, Isabella, is available, $14.99, by Joanna Farrow. I'm intrigued to see what's in it. There's probably normal food to make look like alien
stuff. I found
stuff.
A recipe for jelly babies.
What, in that book?
No, not in that book, I just found one. I was like, oh, sort of classic sweets book my mum bought me. And, yeah.
Well, the blurb says, whether you're planning a party to watch the latest episode, need a show-stopping cake that's bigger on the inside, or want a taste of the TARDIS at tea time, this is the ultimate collection of dishes from across space and time. It's actually not bad idea. That I mean, if you make a TARDIS birthday cake.
I love baking and I love Doctor Who, so win-win.
So what happens to my birthday cake then, Deb?
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Evening's Empire by Andrew Cartmore and et al. Is available.
Who's
Al? Shut up.
oh, you could hear me.
Yeah, funny, for some reason it has a filter to filter out certain things, but when you actually want to say something annoying, then it comes through. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Companion Chronicles.
No, it's planned.
Is it? Companion Chronicles Second Doctor box set with apparently Fraser Hines playing the voice of the Second Doctor. Fraser Hines, a friend of the show, and somebody else I hope you're meeting in 2 months' time when I go to the...
I'm so jealous.
Matt Craterra is also available as an ebook.
Master?
What?
Master? We just announced for ConGT that we're getting Fraser.
Yes, I saw him. That was brilliant, yes.
I'm pleased about that. Maybe we'll actually get to speak to him this time. And hopefully Andy won't be off his face with something.
We will definitely be able to speak with him because... I have a lot more to do with the running of that convention than the other two, so I will make sure.
Oh. And we'll make sure that Andy's not high or a drunk.
How are you going to do that then, Deb?
It's going to depend on what he's doing, because I know Matthew went and asked him if he would come and join.
Debbie, are you...
And he specifically said, no, I'm not interested, so I don't know how you're going to deal with that.
I know that. I know. I discussed it with Eddie. It's going to be part of what he's been assigned to do.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You've got to make him come to us.
And we've had him on the podcast. So.
That's right. You phoned me up to come on the show, and then when he realised what was entailed, it completely put him off. So I completely understand why he didn't want to do that.
What? I thought he enjoyed being on the show.
Hey.
He probably heard what Andy was up to.
No, this was way before.
I know.
Autographs and photographs, and he didn't want to.
Like I say, I'll be hopefully meeting him in October. And I can prime him, if I can get to speak to him, obviously, prime him about what may be coming up at Conquestorbris. GT.
Oh, ConGT.
GT. Conquestorbris. GT. Yeah, so that's the end of the Who Won link. Debbie is now going to talk us through the rather superfluous link with audible.co.uk.
Why is it superfluous?
Because I haven't seen any, feedback from them about this particular thing.
Well, they're still our sponsors, so let Audible read you a bestseller. Download a free audiobook of your choice now. You join Audible today and enjoy your first system free. Go to audible.co.uk/20mb and we'll get hopefully some feedback. And you enjoy 30 days free, then pay only about £8 a month. You'll get one credit each month, which you can use on any of the 200,000 plus titles. And I'm still with them, so, you know, don't know what's going on there, why we're not getting any feedback from them.
Yeah, it's a sin, isn't it? But I do like Audible, so I'm quite happy to carry on talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're just flipped.
I like hearing things, too.
Thank you.
They're audible.
We just flipped the image. Would you stop doing stupid mimes in my ear roll? Because I can't see what people have been writing. Shut up. People have been writing on the feed. Whoa. Right, I'm going to go back through it. Because it doesn't come up on the Mac. It comes up on the iPhone. And with the iPhone
flip. Something a Mac doesn't do?
Right. Yeah, Alan T. Butcher, last thing I said, they were grey. And then Ashley Hughes said, nice scarf, Adam. In fact, it's my fourth Doctor T-shirt.
Yeah.
Which I found accidentally in the cupboard. I thought I'd lost it.
Is flipped around.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is why I don't like using this camera, because it flips everything. Then Ashley Hughes says, your name will also go on the list. We've done that one. There's obviously picked a few that came up on the Mac. Got Alan T. Butcher, Fed Back, which he did, and we read it. Ian Coate, does Isabella's T-shirt have barcodes? Code and barcode.
Banana!
Ashley Hughes, your name. Well, I've done that one. Okay, came up twice. Then that one came up before.
It was so good, it came up twice.
And then Ian Kirk says, Adam is writing down the names. Don't tell him, Pike. Says, Waddle, Debbie, FTW. As long as she plays her Joker.
For the win.
For the win.
No. Will you stop doing the rabbit ears behind my head? Alan T. Putcher says, is Adam playing that annoying paperclip assistant they has it fallen off? Oh. They used to have on Microsoft Office. Yeah, I had a little paperclip stuck to my head. At least somebody noticed. Christopher Martin joined, then Andy Nunny joined to watch it and didn't bother coming on the show. What do you think of that, everybody? What do you think of that, then, Isabella? Do you know what? I reckon he saw her and thought, oh, God, I'm not going there. And he said, he's sitting on Jilly's bench with a glass of wine after dinner. Wow, that's very unusual. Then he said about my new carpet. No, I am not splashing out. It's Deb's idea. I wanted to spend it on some camera equipment.
Oh, Jeff, your carpet looks brilliant, though.
Alan T. Butcher said, TMI. Waiting for Kirby's translation.
No.
Ooh! Jeff Waddle. No doubt we've got a 20-minute explanation of why the Crotons are South African as a parody for apartheid, courtesy of Alan T. Butcher. Andy Nunny says, what is Isabella's T-shirt about? Oh, for God's sake.
Banana!
You can see listen on the T-shirt the quite clearly, Minions. Look, Minions.
Banana.
That'll do, thank you.
I actually like the Minions movie better than the Despicable Me movies.
Yeah, so do I.
Alan T. Butcher said, lol, funny you should say that, Jeff. You will discover the truth later. And Nanny, rabbits. And he says, should be 73% discount. Craig M. Hansen joined. Wasn't he in that pop group once?
Bob.
Yeah.
Oh.
They've all grown up now.
He's probably heard that millions of times.
Andy Nunny said evening chin. I can't see my.
Why am I not seeing these?
Because
comments.
They're coming up on my iPhone.
If you watch, coming up on my computer
please,
at all.
Please
yeah.
Let me explain. When this video link gets posted, so you can watch it when it's not live, these as you're watching it, these little comments come up on the screen.
They come across, don't they? Yeah.
They do. Sandro Falke joined. Then Andy Nunny said, how's life? And he said, evening, Sandro. And then Alan T. Butcher said, why is Andy quoting Tegan, or is that late Auntie Vanessa? Andy Nunny said, talking to Chin. And then Craig M. Hansen said, pretty good, thanks. Tormageddon is a little cutie.
Aww.
And then Andy Nunny said, book a convention in January when I don't drink. Can we not do the Con GT and Con Consturus in January then?
Yeah,
just cramp them all in January.
Oh, my tape measure just fell off the.
Master?
Yes?
We forgot a little bit of something I post a couple of days.
Yeah, can't hear a word. BBC. Anybody know what he's saying?
Excuse me?
Saying that we're forgetting something that he posted a couple of days ago, BBC, and then you interrupted him.
I didn't hear, I didn't understand what he was saying. Did you understand what he was saying?
I did.
I'm talking to Isabella.
Stand by. Yeah.
BBC released a bunch of publicity for filming.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, BBC released a publicity for filming. Yeah,
thank you. Please translate, Debbie.
And they've released a picture of the TARDIS out of order, which looks like the one from the War Machine.
No, unfortunately.
You what? That one. You didn't understand that one. Well, that's helpful.
It's like the TARDIS from the War Machine is all I got.
Something about a sign, a photo of the TARDIS.
It's the out of order sign, from that you see in the War Machines, and it's on the TARDIS, current TARDIS, incarnation of it.
Anyway, back to the thread. Andy Nunny said, not bad really, nearly walking. He's talking about himself, not Stormageddon, obviously.
Yeah.
Jeff Wardle said, it's a cinder floating in Spain. Andy Nunny said, Jeff, don't understand. Andy Nunny said, why is the image now mirror? I didn't explain this! It's running my hair out. I haven't got any. Andy Nunny said, iPhone shows images. It does, but when you want to read the thread, you have to flip it around, and then it flips the image.
Yeah.
And then he says, I can hear Kirby. So therefore, I'm going to flip this back again. Turn it like
has
that.
The image got something to do with Kirby then?
Maybe it does.
Whenever it involves Kirby, everything goes haywire.
It does. Right. So, next time, what are we talking about next time? I forgot what episode we're on now.
Next time.
Seeds of Death, isn't it?
Yeah, that's six episodes.
Yeah.
So, pardon Kirby?
That's
right. So it's a six episode story. I suggest we give a two-week period for this.
Fungus in this one, isn't there?
I don't want to know about your foot infections. So we're going to aim for... Be quiet, please. I'm going to aim for the 26th of August, six-part story, to give you lot plenty of time to watch it. And I will help you, Mary, OK?
Is that a Friday?
That's a Friday?
Oh, but just testing. 27th of August.
Saturday? That's a Saturday.
28th of August. it's a bank holiday. But shouldn't really... Hang on, that's 28th of... Hang on, I'm on the wrong year. Sorry, I was in 2017. I was in 2017. Right, start again. Right, 4th of September.
Yeah, that's
4th of September. Okay.
That's better. That's better.
So that's what we're aiming for. 4th of September. I was a year ahead then for some reason. It's not that funny.
The 26th of August, 2017. We're not taking a break at all, are we?
No.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that would be a proper hiatus. That's a proper Michael Grade hiatus. Yes. So, like, we'll be looking at the seeds of death, wasn't it, you said?
So, 4th of September, then.
Return
so, it's the seeds of death, not seeds of doom.
Seeds of doom is the one with the plants. Seeds of death is the one with the ice warriors.
Where you get, I've got a picture here of Patrick Trout dealing with some
Monday the 5th is a bank holiday for us, too.
Yeah, we're not doing the Monday the 5th, unless I get, something happens that I have to do something on the 4th.
I'm off Monday the 5th.
But I can't be guaranteed. We're supposed to be having a works function a Sunday coming up soon. We haven't actually been given a date yet. But if that does happen, it might get shifted to the Monday.
Okay.
I'd
rather do it on Sunday because I'm off that Monday, and that would mean getting up very, very early.
Hey, Kirby, I did that this last Monday, and I was off.
yeah, dedication.
Ooh, dedication, that's what you need.
Okay, so Sunday, September 4th, at 8 p.m. your time.
Yeah. That's what we're aiming for until things change.
Say if that doesn't work out.
Yes. So until then, we won't have Isabella on that one.
Aww.
Because she'll be back at school. She'll be back at school the next day. She won't be
there's
allowed
to stay. There's a Professor Eldred in this one.
Pardon?
There's a Professor Eldred. They're not back to school until Wednesday the 7th.
Yeah. Are they not?
No.
Smart man, isn't she? Well, we'll think about it.
I haven't seen either Seeds of Story, either the Fourth Doctor one or the Second Doctor.
That's good. But Isabella won't be watching either, so I don't know how she managed to blag herself on this episode when she hadn't actually watched the episode that we were talking about.
Excellent helper.
But Isabella is a lovely thing to watch
Don't, please. Ow. Thank you. I have to live with this kid. So, until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Please enjoy the seeds of death.
Yes.
Yeah. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And I will let you know.
Next week. Next time.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Hey, it's clear.
podcast is an appvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.